Well, this morning we're going to finish a series that we started a few weeks ago called Love God and Love People. And the message today is titled, God's Love is for You. God's Love is for You. We're going to look at Mark 12, if you'd like to turn in your Bible to Mark 12. We're going to start in verse 28. Mark 12, 28. And we're going to look at 28 through 31 here starting out. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. There are times where we might struggle with issues of pride. There are times that people can get a stronghold of having a haughty spirit, of maybe thinking too highly of themselves, of loving themselves a little too much for different reasons. The Lord tells us in Romans 12:3 through the Apostle Paul, "For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." You know, God tells us in His Word in many places that He draws near to the brokenhearted, that He's the one who desires to minister to those who are broken in spirit, to those who are poor in their spirit, that He brings spiritual provision and blessing. But those who are too self-sufficient often get turned away, that they are empty. And there are some, and I think some of us go there from time to time, where we just have a unhealthy, unchrist-like way of thinking too highly of ourselves, that we lack humility sometimes, maybe love ourselves a little too much. And I say that as a bit of a disclaimer, because I don't know that that's who I'm speaking to at all this morning. I kind of think that that's probably not who this message is going to be for. I think this morning the Word of God is going to speak today to those of us who don't love ourselves enough. Those of us who maybe struggle with a critical attitude, a judgmental attitude towards ourselves, that struggle with our own worth. There are a lot of us who are resistant to having a godly love for self, in a good way, a healthy, righteous acceptance and love for ourself, the way that Jesus loves us. And if we don't love ourselves in a good way, in a healthy way, if we don't accept ourselves in the way Jesus does, it makes real love for other people very difficult. You know, whether you wrestle with a negative or a critical spirit towards other people or towards yourself, I don't think that that's God's desire for us. You know, the Lord tells us in Philippians 4 that whatever is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and praiseworthy, these are the things that we should think upon, not only in relation to other people, but I think in relation to ourselves. That God wants us to think on good things. But sometimes we like to make exceptions to that. We think, well, but I can come up with my justification for being very critical of maybe this person or that person or myself often. I read a study that was recently done where it said that the average American has a critical negative thought that they dwell upon, on average, once a minute. Once a minute. That we have a negative critical thought on average once a minute. And that same study said that 30 minutes of negative thinking actually starts to deaden and damage neural pathways in your brain that have to do with having healthy relationships with people and rational thinking. So that actually having the opposite of what God says to have, instead of having a mind that is thinking on things that are right and pure and true and noble, when we think on negative things, it actually causes brain damage. You know, the good news is God's made us in such an amazing way that those neural pathways can be restored and renewed. In the two great commandments of Scripture that we looked at in Mark 12 a moment ago, we find there this condensed, powerful capsule of the duty of human beings, especially Christians, toward God, that we're to love God with a totality of everything we are. We're to love God. But then to love others in the way that we love ourselves. To love other people in the way we love ourselves. And I don't want to overstate that to where we maybe think that it's wrong to have some healthy humility. It's good to have humility. It's good to be honest about your shortcomings. And there are times that we need some conviction. And I don't mean to preach everything's rainbows and Skittles and unicorns message this morning, and we should just have happy thoughts all the time. But we need to be careful about being overly critical of ourselves. Author Lofton Hudson, in his book, The Religion of a Mature Person, he wrote, "When a man does not love himself, he cannot love his fellow man. And when he doesn't understand God's love, he doesn't know how to love himself." Well, this morning, I want to give you a few symptoms that may or may not apply to you this morning. But these are symptoms that maybe would help to diagnose if you don't have a biblical love of yourself, if you don't see yourself the way that Jesus sees you, and maybe you're too critical of yourself. First of all, do you have a tendency to belittle yourself? Do you have a tendency to belittle yourself? And by belittle, I'll explain what I mean by that. Belittling really is saying something that God's not saying. You know, if God loves your neighbor that lives next door to you, but they're maybe mowing over a foot into your yard further than you'd like them to, and you're saying all kinds of mean and nasty, ugly things about them, you're belittling them. You're saying something that God's really, they may be true, maybe they are doing that, but you're belittling. You're saying something about them that God's not saying, and sometimes we can even do that with ourselves. And it is good to have an honest estimation of your imperfection, of your sins, that you do need to be truthful with yourself. That's a good thing. But when you're overly critical of yourself, when you're saying things about yourself, belittling yourself in a way that God's not doing, that God's not saying that, but you're saying that, that's a problem. Another symptom: do you find within yourself a refusal to believe in your own value, that you just don't think you're worth that much? Do you struggle with that? Because when we do that, we're negating the fact that whatever your brokenness, whatever your imperfection, God can use you for great things. Do you regularly hesitate to attempt new things or difficult things because you doubt that God could use you? You doubt that God could do something through you. Again, just underestimating what God can do in your life and through you. Is it difficult for you to forgive yourself? Is it difficult for you to forgive yourself? We all fall short and need forgiveness. Are you characterized by feelings of loneliness and disconnectedness and alienation from other people? And again, sometimes that self-hatred causes that we don't have good relationships with people. Do you find that you tend to try to escape from reality, from facing the fact that you're not perfect? Do you try to escape that through Facebook or food or pornography or alcohol or whatever it may be, not accepting yourself for how you are? Do you have thoughts of harming yourself? You know, in looking at these things, when I read this list, and there are times, not all the time, but there are times I might read that and think, you know, I'll just give you an example, belittling myself. There's times I'm pretty critical, hypercritical of myself. Would I feel like it's that, and I can justify it in my mind. I can say, well, you're right. You were a jerk, you know. But would it be okay for me to do that to somebody else? Would Jesus be okay with me having that attitude towards somebody else? Because I'm loved by him just like everybody else is. Now, would it be loving to have a tendency to belittle other people? To say negative things about other people that Jesus is not saying about others? Would it be loving to refuse to see the value in other people and to believe that, you know what, God could use them for great things because of how awesome he is, not because they're all that, but God is so great that he could. You know, would it be loving for me to go around discouraging other people from trying new things or difficult things? Would it be loving for me to withhold forgiveness? You know, it's easy for us to look at those questions and relating to other people and say, well, no, those wouldn't be loving things at all. And yet we justify doing that to ourselves. We justify having a critical spirit towards ourselves. So why do people lack a proper biblical love for themselves? Well, there's a few reasons I'll mention. There are others, but part of that is they're just not experiencing love in their youth, in their formative years, an absence of love as a child. And sometimes when a child doesn't experience love in their life, parental love and hugs and kisses and time spent with them and encouragement, when they don't have that, sometimes they come to a place of believing it's my fault that I'm not loved or wasn't loved, that they think, well, it's because I'm not lovable. And sometimes that can cause us to have that critical spirit towards ourselves. Sometimes a lack of proper love and acceptance of yourself can be from a critical person in our life. Somebody just keeps saying negative things about you all the time, and you're not believing what the Word of God says, that you're beloved of God, but you're believing what somebody else is saying who's very critical of you. And that's possible too. You know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 5 that we should be very careful with our words. We should be very careful not to speak rashly and harshly from our mouths, that God is in heaven and that we're on earth, that we're just human beings, and we're too quick to put ourselves as judges sometimes, not only over other people, but judging ourselves in a way that we shouldn't. We have too much criticism of ourselves. Some people have a too critical or a low opinion of themselves because they compare themselves to other people too much. You know, the Bible says that instead of comparing ourselves to others, we need to compare ourselves, to view ourselves in the light of the Word of God. We need to see what God says about us, and that should form our thoughts about ourselves, not comparing ourselves to others. You know, sometimes people have a self-hatred or a lack of love for themselves because they have some unresolved guilt, and it weighs on them. You know, we sometimes are willing to accept God's forgiveness. We confess, we repent, we go to the cross, and we know that God has completely forgiven us, and yet we just refuse to forgive ourselves. We're unwilling to accept that forgiveness extends to how we view ourselves as well. We continue to hate ourselves or not love ourselves the way God wants us to. But that is not what God wants for us. God wants us to have so much gospel-centered love in our life, receiving so much of the fullness of His love for us in Jesus Christ, that it extends not only in loving God and to loving our neighbor, but that we actually have the audacity to love ourselves, even though we're not perfect. And our enemy hates that. The devil hates that. You know, you can be certain that the devil is going to do everything he can do to get you to be hypercritical of yourself, to not forgive yourself, to walk around with guilt, to accuse you. Satan means accuser. That's one of his weapons. He spends his time trying to, again and again, bring up things that Jesus says, I've removed that. My blood has covered that sin that you committed. My sacrifice for you has removed that as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up again. It's gone. And then Satan keeps bringing it back up. And sometimes we cooperate with him instead of cooperating with God's grace. And we keep letting him bring things back up. You know, Satan knows that if he can disrupt the love of God in any area, including you're loving yourself in a healthy way, in a biblical way, it's gonna hinder your ability to love other people. Sometimes we're hypercritical of others because really deep down we're hypercritical of us. And that pain comes out towards other people. So how can we have a biblical love for ourselves? Well, first of all, you have to recognize and respond to the good news that God loves you. That God loves you. He knows everything about you. Romans 5:8 tells us, God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us, not when we were perfect and had it all together, while we were still sinners. What an amazing truth. Jesus knows your imperfection better than you do. He knows where you fall short more than you do, and He still loves you with a crazy love that is beyond what you can imagine. You know, you have no secrets from Him. There's nothing that you're going to put under the table that He doesn't see. He knows it all, and yet He still loves you. That's the good news of the gospel, that He extends His grace to us even though we don't deserve it. He extends that love to us. You know, the good news of the gospel is that He forgives us. He forgives our sin, and He rescues us from a life of futile thinking, of thinking that's weighed down by guilt and by shame. To have a life where we let Him declare over us, you're my beloved. You are accepted. You are loved by grace, Jesus says. You're part of the family of God now. You're adopted into His family as a dearly loved child, even though you're messy. Even though you make mistakes, even though you fall short in spite of yourself, definitely my case, in spite of me, you're accepted and loved into His family, and He wants you to think on those good things, not to tear yourself down and beat yourself up. God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. When you dwell on your imperfection and you're prone to criticize yourself, be reminded of that truth from Scripture. It's only imperfect people. It's only people who don't deserve it. It's only unworthy sinners who can receive His grace. If you don't know that you need that, you can't receive it. And if you would have a good, healthy love for yourself, think on God's love for you. Think on how high and how deep and long the love of God is for you. And accept His forgiveness. Accept His forgiveness for you. 1 John 1:9 tells us, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." You can count on it. You can count on it. The Word of God says so. No matter what it is, no matter what you feel like you need to beat yourself up for, he says, "I've got forgiveness for that. I've got love for that. I can remove that. That doesn't need to hinder the intimacy with the Lord any longer. He can deal with it, whatever it is." And he paid a very high price to remove that guilt and to remove that shame. And so by faith, we respond to the truth of Scripture. We respond to the truth of the gospel that whatever you've been beating yourself up for, that God holds that against you no longer, that the blood of Jesus covers that, and we accept that truth, that we are part of his family now. We are dearly loved children, and we need to view ourselves that way. Sometimes it's hard for us to love ourselves because we want to make restitution for something. Maybe we've wronged somebody in some way, and the devil keeps bringing it up. And if we can make restitution, the Word of God tells us to do that. If there's something you've done that you need to go to somebody and ask forgiveness, you need to make amends in some way, then do that. But there's times where you can't. And you can't let the devil keep beating you up for that when you can't do anything about it. When there are times when you can't make restitution, when that's impossible, what you need to do is say, "God, I know what your word says, but I'm helpless here. I can't do it. That person's gone," or whatever it is. "I can't pay that debt," or whatever it may be. If it's impossible, you just admit that helplessness to God and say, "God, I'm going to trust you. Because I can't make restitution. I can't have reconciliation with that person," whatever it may be. You know what, going forward, I'm going to do the best I can to not do whatever that was, but I'm going to trust you with whatever that is. And just admit that I'm helpless, God, but you're not. And another way that you can have a healthy love for yourself, another way that you can accept yourself, even though you're not perfect, know that God's not finished with you. What great news. What wonderful, wonderful news today. 1 John 3:2 tells us, "Dear friends, now we are children of God. Now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What wonderful news. And I don't have to understand the details of all that. All I know is all the stuff that's broken in me and all the stuff that doesn't look like Jesus, he's busting out the chisel. And we're getting rid of all that. And we're going to be like him. And what fantastic news that is. And I look forward to that day. And in the meantime, you know what? I'm going to receive his mercy and grace and forgiveness and his love and dare to be okay. Dare to have the audacity to know that even though I'm messy and even though I'm broken in some ways still, it's okay. He's got grace for me and I'm not stuck there. I'm not stuck there. He's not done with me yet. He's not done with you yet. Yeah. Did you have a question, Patty? What's that? That's a wonderful question. When are we going to see Jesus? And I am hoping today. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Amen. And that's what we're talking about. The day when he comes and changes us to be like him. And I hope it's soon. I think it will be. And a final point, if you want to experience a healthy biblical love for yourself, if you want to be able to see yourself the way Jesus sees you, which is really what it's about, being truthful about your brokenness but still able to love. Matthew 6:33 tells us, "Seek the kingdom of God above everything else and live righteously, and he's going to give you everything you need." Everything you need. When you give yourself wholly, completely to knowing God and to loving God and to serving Him and to helping other people in Jesus' name, when you live your life that way and you give yourself to that, He gives you a clearer sense of who He's making you into. When you're walking out His will and His ways in your life, He gives you more clarity for who He's making you into. And it becomes a little easier to be okay with yourself and to stop beating yourself up.